Grace, mercy, and peace be unto all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for meditation this morning is from Acts chapter 4, verses 6, 23 through 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Thus far, our text. In the name of Jesus, in whose name we boldly proclaim the grace, the kingdom of God, dear fellow redeemed. One of the most gifted speakers in church history was a man by the name of John Chrysostom. The name comes from a Greek word that means golden-tongued. John was sent from Antioch to what was then Constantinople, where he preached fearlessly in the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire. His denunciation of lavish extravagance of the rich and ruling class and his condemnation of excess infuriated many, including Empress Eudoxia, who arranged for him to be exiled. When he was told of his fate, Chrysostom responded, What can I fear? Will it be death? But you know that Christ is my life, and that I shall gain by death. Will it be exile? But the earth and all its fullness is the Lord's. Will it be the loss of wealth? But we brought nothing into the world, and we could carry nothing out. Thus all the terrors of the world are contemptible in my eyes, and I smile at all its good things. Poverty I do not fear. Riches I do not sigh for. Death I do not shrink from. The boldness of John Chrysostom to make this proclamation in the face of punishment over his faith, is the same boldness that was burned into the hearts of the apostles in the beginnings of the New Testament church. It is a boldness that didn't come from the will of their own, but is a power granted to them by the Holy Spirit, the same power that is granted to you also, through prayer and the word. Today I would lay on your hearts the theme, a prayer for boldness. Boldness to do what the Lord has called us to do. A boldness that comes from Him alone. Prior to our text for this morning is a very familiar account of Peter and John going up to the temple to pray. They happened upon a man who had been lame for over 40 years from his very birth, who was sitting by the gate asking for alms. And upon asking Peter and John for money, you might remember Peter's response from the children's song. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And rise up and walk, the man did, but so much more. he ran around the temple, praising God for the miracle that he had just received, and letting everyone around him know exactly who and how he regained the ability to walk. This was a massive deal, because every single person recognized him as that man who sat by the gate every day asking for alms. And it was at this opportunity that Peter seized the moment to proclaim the power that was behind this man being healed, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he convicts them of their sin. He told them, "But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. In his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." But as with any good sermon, Peter then offers them the free and unconditional forgiveness that comes with repentance. "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." And it was this preaching that caught the attention of the priests and the Sadducees that were in the temple that day. And they didn't like it. They arrested Peter and John because they were teaching people about Jesus, something that they still viewed as blasphemy. But when they brought Peter and John in to be questioned by the high council, they couldn't charge them with any wrongdoing. Why? Because their preaching worked. In the temple, the people were rejoicing because they believed that, yes, God has fulfilled his promise in the person of Jesus Christ. It was the same reason that the chief priests and the Pharisees could not arrest Jesus in a legal manner, for they were in fear of the crowds who supported him. But this didn't stop the council from threatening Peter and John. They were told strictly and under punishment not to preach any more about this Jesus. But Peter and John answered, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And this is what brings us to our text for this morning, the prayer of the brethren. This whole context is important because it sets the stage for this prayer. Peter and John were just arrested and threatened for doing exactly what God had called them to do. And it was even happened among their own brethren, among fellow Jews who should have known the gospel, who should have expected Jesus. And if this was a reaction that they received here among their kin, well, how much harsher of a reaction would there be in the pagan Gentile lands? And that's a natural thought, isn't it? It'd be easy to focus on the threats and punishments that come as a result of proclaiming the faith. Who wants to be arrested or persecuted for just telling someone about Jesus? Let alone rejoice in that suffering. Well, these disciples did. Not because they felt that they were getting their 15 minutes of fame or that they were gluttons for punishment. No, they rejoice because they realize this was fulfilling Jesus' words that he spoke to them. Jesus told them in Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And also in John 15, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours." The disciples rejoiced because they were deemed worthy to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus. They were happy to bring the gospel of repentance and forgiveness to their kindred people, even though they knew that they would be rejected and hated by some. It was all worth it because they also knew that the Holy Spirit would use their work to create faith, saving some of their fellow Jews from eternal hell. And that is the motivation behind their prayer. That is why they ask for boldness. Now, the prayer that they speak is really has two main themes to it. What God does versus what those who are against God try to do. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Whether it was the Gentiles' nations threatening the people of Israel in the days of King David, or whether it was their fellow Jews, Roman overlords, or other Gentiles in the days of Jesus, there were always and will always be those who set themselves against God the Father and against his anointed, Jesus Christ. These Jews went so far as to kill the Son of God, the one they should have been expecting from days of old. And it hasn't slowed down, even since Jesus has ascended and gone back into heaven. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. The same threats that were levied against Jesus are now being cast against his disciples. And for many of them, these threats would not end until they gave up their lives in martyrdom for their Savior. But this and all else they were willing to endure if the Lord would grant them boldness. But again, the question is why? Why would they persist when the odds were so stacked against them? Because the message that they carried was just that important. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Wonderful things were happening in the name of Jesus. The suffering were being healed. People lost in sin were being brought to the light of salvation. the alienated found a home and a community in Christ Jesus. It was the power of the gospel at work, and the disciples were able to see face to face just how Jesus' forgiveness could change the life of every single person they ran into. And that was reason enough for them to ask God for more boldness to continue to preach the message of salvation to the ends of the earth. And so the question that I have for you today, are you ready to ask God for boldness? Are you ready to lay it all on the line in order to proclaim repentance and forgiveness? I'm not talking about signing up and going to our overseas missions. While that is a wonderful opportunity to proclaim God's grace, I'm talking about a mission field that is a lot more daunting and possibly more unforgiving. It's your own backyard. Your family or friends who don't know their Savior. Are you ready to ask God for boldness to bring the message of salvation to them? It might just be the most difficult mission field that you will ever face. You don't want to stir the pot or offend someone that you are close to. The idea is to keep the peace now, and maybe an easier door would open up in the future. And that makes sense. It sounds good, reasonable. But is that what our Savior has called us to do? The question that you need to ask yourself is this: is that person across from me loved by God? Does He want them an eternal life? And if the answer to that is yes, which it is for all people, then the door can never be more wide open. Just like the disciples faced rejection by their fellow Jews, we too will face rejection for preaching Christ crucified. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." But this is not a reason to be discouraged or fearful, but is a reason to ask God for boldness. Because it means that there are those right near to us that need to hear the message of salvation through Christ alone. The same message, remember, that was brought to your own heart. Because you and I also were once enemies of God. But the blood of Jesus shed on the cross paid to cover your sins. The Holy Spirit who entered your heart to create faith and deliver you from your sin. God never stopped loving you, even when you were against Him. He continuously sought to bring His grace into your life. And now that He has, He is calling you to do that for the ones you love. Now, that doesn't mean that you leave here this morning, barge down your friend or family's front door, and shove a Bible in their face. That is not courage, nor is it being a messenger of peace. Having boldness to do what God has called you to do is simply letting your light shine. When opportunities arise, share the joy that Jesus has placed in your heart, whether they've heard it a million times or not. When at a crossroads, choose a path that is going to show forth the love that your Savior has for you. And when fear or uncertainty overwhelms your heart, remember to pray for boldness. Remember that the Lord's hand goes before you. The hand that will defend you, protect you, and prosper your work according to His will. Now I pray that you do not face such extreme consequences as maybe John Chrysostom. But let each of us pray that God would continue to grant you the same boldness to proclaim your faith. The same boldness that would burn in the hearts of Jesus' disciples, that led them to testify of their faith, not knowing what would happen to them as a result. Let our prayer be that God would remind us, you have at your fingertips a message that can bring eternal life. And God will grant you that boldness. Amen. Please rise. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.